So I'll start off with Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious about everything, anything. I'll start that again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The next passage is John 15, 7 and 8. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you may bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The next passage is from Romans 8, 26 to 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 15, 16 to 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's just take a few minutes just to sit before God and to let him speak to us through those passages. If I could, I'd just like to reflect briefly on something that challenged me in prayer all the time. And because I'm the pastor, I can change the rules. I'm using different passage. So one of the passages that challenges me is Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to please God. I want to please him. I want to do what he's calling me to do. I want to serve him the way that he wants to be served. I want to be God's person. And so without faith, I can't please God. So what is faith? So that was Hebrews 11:6. If we just go up a few passages to Hebrews 11:1, faith is being confident in what we hope for and being sure of things not seen. Faith is being sure of things hoped for and certain of things not seen. So faith is knowing that there are things that can't be seen that we're hoping for are going to come true, are going to be delivered. A part of that is that we trust that whoever makes the promise can deliver on the promise. Who can we trust to deliver on their promises? If I make a promise to you, will I deliver it? Well, it depends on the promise, doesn't it? There's things that I can promise and I'll deliver, and there's things that I could say which are just totally out of my realms of deliverance. There's friends, and they can make promises, and they can deliver sometimes if it's within their realms. But truly, the one who can deliver on what they promise is God. If God has promised that he's going to do something, then we can trust that he will do it. Faith is trusting that God is going to do what he's promised to do. Faith is trusting that God will do what he's promised to do. And that's what faith is. The trick is, I don't know if it's a trick, the important part is that we understand what God's promising. Because you know how often I hear God's promised me this and I go, That doesn't sound like a God promise. Because so often we can believe or we can think that God's promising stuff when it's actually me. I believe God's going to give me a Mercedes. I believe that God's going to bring my children up next weekend. I believe that God's going to do it. That's me. I want. And that's what we call hope. I hope that happens. I hope that happens. I hope that happens. But until God says it's going to happen, then he's not promising us. Do you see the subtle difference? Faith is being sure of things hoped for, certain of things not seen. Faith is trusting God to do the things that he has promised that he's going to do. Not what I hope, not what I've told God he's going to do, not what the pastor said that God might do, but what God's promising to do. Without faith, we can't please God. We can't please God if we're not trusting him to do the things that he's promised to do for us. Matthew 21:21, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." The start of that says, if you have faith and you believe. If we stand on the promises of God, what God has promised, he will deliver. Even telling a mountain to throw itself into the sea. God will do what he's told us he's going to. He will deliver on the promises that he's made. So what do we need to learn about prayer from this? Well, firstly, prayer is a conversation. Prayer is not a time where we sit there and tell God what we want. It's not a monologue. God is not Santa Claus. God is not this gift giver in the sky that just bows down to whatever we demand or every whim that we have. God is God. God hears our hopes, and he knows that sometimes our hopes are good and sometimes our hopes are a little bit off. God answers our prayers. God delivers what he promises. Prayer isn't just talking. Prayer is listening. Prayer is hearing from God. Praying from faith means we need to be hearing from God and to pray what he wants for us, what he wants for what's around us. A prayer of faith is believing that God will deliver what he has promised. Believing, knowing, totally giving ourselves to what he is promising. Being sure of things not seen. Knowing that God will deliver what he's promised. A prayer of faith is acting on that belief, moving forward one step at a time towards the promise. As we're listening, we're working towards what he's promised. If I say to my kids, "I'm going to give you something," I have this rule with my kids, the more you ask, the less likely it's going to happen. So if I say that I'm going to do it, I'll do it. If I say no, it's no. If you keep asking, then it's a bigger no and a bigger no and a bigger no. That's not like God. I'm so not like God. But the kids know that if they've asked and I said yes, I'll do everything I can to give them what they've asked for. So they can plan to do that. Can we go here? Yes, we can. Okay, I'll get ready. I'll be prepared. I'll be ready for that. If we're walking in faith, then we are walking and preparing for what God is going to give to us and do with us. Prayer of faith is walking physically into that promise that God is bringing to us while listening, while hearing God, while he is directing each step that we have. And a prayer of faith is an attitude of gratitude for what God is doing. Because the day before God gives the promise is not what always looks like the promise is coming. God has a different way of getting to point B than what we do. We have A, B, C. God has A, F, G, L, T, B. God goes in a different direction, but we walk in faith and in trust in what God is promising us. A prayer of faith is an attitude of gratitude in those times where it doesn't look like what God's promising is going to happen, but walking in faith towards his promises. So when we pray with listening. We pray in faith. We pray trusting God. And we prepare for what God is doing in and around us. In a few minutes, we're going to pray with each other. But before we do that, I'm going to ask Janelle to come up and have a short testimony time.
When Dave asked me to share on the role of prayer in my life, I'm a bit of a writer more than a speaker. And so I found myself writing a reflection. And so I thought I'd just share that with you. Prayer has played a large part in my life, both as the receiver and as the asker. I'm here as a product of others' answered prayers. Many who know my younger self would agree that I should not be standing here. There was my nan, who was an amazing woman of prayer and saw herself in me. She was a woman who saw what God could do when my alcoholic pa, her husband, met a Salvation Army officer while sitting in the gutter outside the local pub and got saved. My mum then carried on that prayer and at 91 still prays faithfully. There was the Christian couple who allowed me to squat in their garage as an out-of-control and hurt teenager. They provided shelter, food, a space with no agendas or expectations, and life-changing prayer. Their prayers led me to a dream from God that showed me the truth about my life, and this took me on the path to meet God personally. There were, and still are, amazing Christian leaders whom I've been blessed to work with, who have prayed earnestly for me to grow into the daughter of God that I was not at the time. I think of the prayer warriors, many of whom I don't know, who heard God's voice and faithfully prayed when God asked. These included the time when I was close to ending my life and suddenly fell into a deep sleep. The times I was in physical danger through threatening violent attacks. The time Dave and I and our young baby crashed at high speed into the side of a petrol tanker and were able to walk away with the baby having not even woken up. Then I've seen answers to my prayers, to the prayers I cried in darkness only to see God bring his light to the situation, to the prayers for those I love and care for salvation, for healing, for insight, for guidance, to the prayers of lament during times of grief, which allowed me to enter into God's throne room and find comfort in his presence, to the prayers that fought injustice and showed God as one who will bring his justice to situations, to the prayers of spiritual warfare that were answered, with people finding freedom and release. This fight can only be done when covenant and connected through the name of Jesus, and obedience to the Holy Spirit all in prayer. To the prayers of sorrow and repentance that God, in his grace and mercy, accepts, gives forgiveness, and brings restoration. And yet, with all this history and experience, prayer still does not come naturally to me. I still struggle with making it a priority. I find my mind wandering halfway through prayers, sometimes saying out aloud, "Oh, where was I, God?" I still have doubts about the effectiveness of my prayers. Prayer has come in and out of my life. I've done the insurance prayer, which is the one that says, "I'll keep in touch just enough prayer that I'm covered for when emergency happens." I've done the deal prayer. If you do this, God, then I'll do. I've done the shopping list prayer, and God, I need you to do this and this and this. But my richest prayers are the ones with no agendas. The time spent in prayer is because I'm in a relationship with God. If I want a healthy relationship with God, I can't only come to Him when I want something or when I need to get something off my chest. No, I come to Him in prayer because I love Him, because I enjoy being in His presence. Like a healthy relationship, we talk about the things that are going on, and I recognize His unique role in this relationship. Through prayer, I get to connect with the one true God. I get to sit in the awe that the God who created everything wants to talk to and hear from me. In my life, prayers are no longer a shopping list or an insurance policy or a one-way conversation about me. It's communication between me and my Heavenly Father. And for this, I am thankful.
What we want to do is to have a time of prayer. And the way that we want to do that is to give everyone the opportunity just to turn around into groups of two, three, four, whatever works for you. And to pray for your own needs, to pray for the people around you, to pray for the world. I don't have an agenda where we're going, but just to be able to give time to be able to pray with those around us. It might be that your group would like to have someone say, can we pray for this? And we all pray in quiet around that point. It might be that someone wants to pray prayers, we agree. It might be that everyone takes a turn. I'm not saying this is how we should do things. But what I just want to do is to give us a time to be able to bring what's on our heart, what's in our head to God, for God to be able to talk to us about. So if we could get into groups like we were in before, and again, there's no need for you to talk and that's okay. There's no need for you to be praying out loud. That's okay. Do what you're comfortable with. But just let's have some time with God at this place.